move to a different subject at the moment. So let's go to number 9, Parks and Wildlife Fee Package Discussion. With Scott and Tony.
Good morning, or good afternoon, Commissioner Secretary Hepler, Tony Leck, Director of the Wildlife Division here. Again, Scott is here with me to have our initial discussion of fees. As you're all aware, now is the time of year that we've started putting together our budgets. We're just in general discussions right now, but we ultimately have to complete our draft budget for submission into the budget office for the state by mid-August. Consequently, we start looking at how revenues are coming in and how those align with our future expenditures that we're anticipating would be contained within the next fiscal year budget. So once again, now is the time of the year that we start looking at what type of monies we're going to need to maintain our level of services, and if there is interest in expanding services in certain areas, identify the revenue to accomplish those expansions. So within your book, you have three pages that are prepared in support of the discussion on resident and non-resident hunting and fishing license fees. I believe they are page 9, starting with 9, 9A, 9B, and then Scott will spend some time visiting about 9C and on when talking about those fees that go to support our state park system. On page 9 and 9A are the resident and non-resident license fees. You will see that the summary in front of you goes back to 2004. There were increases in license fees that occurred in 2005 and again 2013 and 14. Those were the, I would say, the major changes. You'll also see reflective in here when there may have been adjustments with the surcharge license. When you see that fee go up by $1 in 2013 on certain licenses, that was the year that the legislature passed a change to increase the surcharge from $5 to $6. Important to note that any of these license fees, both on page 9 and 9A, that are underlined, you'll see some of them are not underlined, those would be those fees that are not subject to that surcharge on hunting licenses. And if it is underlined, the $6 and previously $5 is included in the number that you see here. So just so you know, when you look at administrative rule, this number is actually $6 less. For example, the combination license lists at $55. It's actually listed at $49 in administrative rule, and then the additional $6 that's applied as a result of state statute gets it to that final fee. Also not included here are the administrative fees that the businesses can collect when they sell these licenses. So a resident license, of a retailer can sell or collect an additional $4 on every resident license and an additional $8 on a non-resident small game licenses. If they sell any other non-resident licenses, like the non-resident fishing licenses, those are still only $4. But it is $8 on the non-resident small game license. Lastly, on page 9B is the comparative table that you asked us to prepare when we last initiated the conversation about this. I believe it was at your June commission meeting. So here is a comparison of the fees that it costs to hunt and fish in all of our neighboring states. Now, each one of these states has a little bit of a different intricacy in the prerequisite licenses that may be necessary to buy, whether it's a conservation license, a basic license, a habitat stamp, conservation stamp, or whatever that might be. So when you look at each of these fees, whether they be resident or non-resident, The fee you see here is if that license is purchased by itself. If that's the only license you purchase, that's the fee that you would pay. And if you were to purchase multiple licenses, that fee goes down because, for example, let's just pick one down here in North Dakota. The $2 hunting certificate and the $20 habitat fee for all hunting licenses. So if you'd buy a deer, a turkey, and a waterfowl license, you wouldn't have to purchase those additional add-on licenses for each one of those. They would be purchased one time and good for all of those hunting licenses. But for the purposes of making a comparison, this is probably the easiest way that we can get some simple numbers in front of you. You can see how the fees for hunting and fishing in South Dakota compare with our neighboring states. And I hope this is something close to what you were hoping to get from us in the form of a comparative table. I'd be happy to entertain any questions. Mr. Chairman, would you like to go through some of the parks fees first, or maybe have a conversation around these fees first?
Maybe we could discuss your fees first and then go to Scott's. Any questions or comments on Tony's presentation? Seeing none, we'll go to parks.
Okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Commission Secretary Hepler, Scott Simpson, Director of the Parks Division. If you turn your attention to 9C, we tried to do something that was very similar. What Tony and I got together and said, hey, let's look at what these different states look like. That's what you see on 9C is a comparison with those surrounding states. And again, as Tony mentioned, every state does things just a little bit differently. You'll see that, for instance, Montana, Nebraska, and Wyoming, they break it out and actually charge non-residents a different fee than what they charge residents for park entrance licenses specifically. You'll see that in Montana, for example, there's no fee for residents that you have to pay as far as like a sticker or a park entrance license, but there is an associated fee that goes on when you register your vehicle. I don't know what that fee is exactly, but that's the way that they handle things for residents, and then only non-residents have to actually buy a park entrance license. You'll see in Iowa that there is no park entrance licenses. Those parks, if I'm recalling correctly, are run by the counties and done so at varying levels of success from what I've heard as well. So. Anyway, I bring this up. Our annual fee in South Dakota is $30. That gets you into every state park and rec area and other areas within every fee area within the state. Those numbers are lower than just about every other state. You'll see that some of them are $5 to $10 higher. And I think from what I have seen in my first couple of months, working closely with the Parks Division, is that I would put our park system up against anybody else on this list. And we would shake out very well. With the services and the amenities that we provide are on a level that I don't think that, I'm not going to try to belittle any other state, but I believe that our services and amenities are at a level higher than anybody else around us. So I think it's a great value, and we hear that from time to time, and actually frequently. The other part you'll see is that we offer a transferable license. That's a sticker that you hang in your window, and you can move that around to different vehicles. We're unique in that. It provides some flexibility for our users. We charge a little bit more for that, but we're the only state that provides that opportunity. And then if you look at our daily fees, you'll see that we're on par with everybody else or slightly below some other folks. And again, matching up our services and amenities, I think that's a bargain as well. If you turn the page, you'll see that we have provided a similar sheet to what Tony had visited with you about as far as the history of our fees within state parks. I think there's a couple of things here that are worth kind of showcasing or highlighting. First one is the annual park entrance license. You'll see that we're currently at $30 sitting here in 2019. That fee has gone up from $28 in 2009. So over the last decade, we've seen a $2 increase for the annual entrance into the parks. So if you think back to all the projects that we've gone through over the last decade, if you think through the flooding issues that we dealt with in 2011, if you think that the flooding events that we've endured this spring and a couple of cold springs and all those things, we've been able to keep operations where they have been without impacting services to visitors for basically a $2 increase over the last decade with that annual license. And I know that our folks take pride in that, that they provide a service and amenities at a reasonable price. And, you know, we just feel like that's one of those licenses that, you know, we want to bring to your attention and you know, talk about whether or not it's maybe one of those that may be ripe for a little closer look at. The daily fee is another one, generates quite a little revenue for the Parks Division. Even though it's only $6 a day right now and has been since 2009, we have about 112,000 of those sales every year. So it generates a significant amount of revenue when, you know, you're up around $700,000. And, you know, and again, that's been in place since 2009, hasn't moved. Another significant revenue source, again, is the Custer State Park. We call them motorcycle bands. Those are currently at $10, and they've been there since 2011. So again, 7-8 years without any increase there. And we bring this forward just from a conversation standpoint. We want to give you a little history that fees haven't moved a lot over the last 10 years. And when they have, they've been fairly benign. We haven't asked for any major increases. At the same time, we've got some big projects on the list. We've got the Palisades Park that is going to definitely impact operations over the next 4 to 5, 6 years. We are, again, dealing with some of those flooding issues that we're seeing this spring. And, you know, the weather, as we talked about last month, and we'll talk about again when we give the revenue report for parks, definitely been impacted by the weather that we've seen, and it's going to have a significant impact. So wanted to get this in front of you and start talking about, you know, answer any questions that you might have about where those, why they are where they're at now and what they may look like in the future. So with that, I'd take any questions.
Commissioner Boyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious to know if you have suggested or brought forth potential increases to previous commissions in the last 10 years, or if it's just content.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Boyd, are you asking, did we bring something forward and not get it approved?
I am just curious if price increases have been considered during that time, or if you have just gone through a similar process where you've compared what other states are doing and everyone has been content that we are right in line where we need to be.
I'll maybe answer for Tony a little bit here too. We bring this forward every year. We always have that conversation, you know, that this is the time of the year when we talk about fees. I think that we go back and do at least a very brief history and say, hey, you know, this is what we've done in the past. But we know that the way our schedule is that we need to at least have that, if nothing else, a cursory conversation around fees. And many times the different divisions don't feel like they're in a spot where they need to ask for those fees. I'm not aware of bringing fees forward where we haven't. There may have been a recommendation from the department that maybe we didn't end up there. You know, if we asked for, I don't know, I'm throwing out a number, $5 and ended up at $3, but I'm not aware of anything that we brought forward that we didn't move through the system.
Yeah, in my time anyway, 6 years, I don't remember anybody ever asking, the department asking and the commission saying no.
I don't, correct. Don't recall that. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Any other questions? Comments? Commissioner Phillips.
Under the park entrance license comparison, Montana residents pay for park entrance when they register a vehicle.
Mr. Chair,
any more
Commissioner
knowledge
Phillips,
on that or expand on that?
I'm not familiar with it. This was information that one of our folks put together and said that this is the process. I'm sure that it is the process. I just can't give you a specific number to say that's $5 per vehicle or $2 per vehicle or anything like that. I'm just that's good information for me to know, and I'll get to a number, but I don't have that with me
just
today.
Just an interesting concept.
Yep.
Any other comments or questions? Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp here. Good information, Scott. I think this is a good sheet to reflect upon, and I guess I would ask that the department also come up with some ideas on if we have some campgrounds that are not as full as they could be, to possibly look at variable rate pricing. Maybe we need to lower the rates on, you know, the off nights, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, just again, figure out a way to maximize the amount of people that could come and enjoy our campgrounds. And then on the licensing fees, I guess this is another great sheet showing the various pricings among, you know, the state for both resident and non-resident. And based on the number of comments we get from the public, that always indicate that we're way too cheap and somehow on non-resident. I would ask that they reference this chart here and point out specifically which area we are too cheap in, so we have more specifics as opposed to a general, we don't charge enough. That's a little bit too broad of a statement. We don't charge enough for what, waterfowl? Is it deer? Is it antelope? So here's a good reference sheet for the public to utilize when they are analyzing where they think the fees should be, and they can use this information when they communicate to us on the public comments. So again, good information. Thank you.
Other comments, questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
So we are at 10, recruiting the next generation.